the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing some praises to our awesome God.
Tell you you're a friend of more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
Man, call it, children.
Oh, good. Will they be surprised? Johnny? Pat? Johnny? Pat?
What is it, Mom? I hope it's time for supper.
Your father wants you.
I can hardly wait to hear these myself.
What is it, Dad?
Pat, look, a package. Is this the surprise?
Lift it, Johnny.
Say, it's heavy.
We'll open it and see what it is.
Hey, look at this one. It's called In the Beginning. Put it on the player, Pat. Let's see what it is.
It has to be good if Dad bought it.
Well, they're the oldest stories known. Well, they're stories of the Bible, called The Bible in Living Sound.
Actual stories from the Bible?
Right.
All the stories in the Bible?
Well, just about.
I've always wanted to hear the walls of Jericho falling down.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to hear Queen Esther. She must have been a wonderful person.
And Jonah and the whale. I'd like to hear that story.
And they have stories about Joseph, Moses, Samson, David, Daniel, Job. They're all here.
Let's play the one about Daniel and the lion's den first.
No, I say play Ruth and Naomi first.
Well, why not start at the beginning?
You mean about Adam and Eve?
No, even before that.
Was there a before Adam and Eve?
Sure.
You mean this? In the beginning?
Exactly.
Okay, here goes.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said,
Let there be light.
And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Now, let's stop for a moment.
But why, Dad?
Just stop it.
Okay.
I wanted to hear the rest of it. It's exciting.
Now, we'll listen to the rest of it in a moment. But first, I think we should talk over what we heard. Anyone have any questions?
Yeah, Dan. Why does the Bible say, and the evening and the morning were the first day? Why didn't it mention morning first? I thought the day begins at midnight, or morning.
Well, the night, darkness, came first, then the light. So God's day begins at sundown, and ends the next evening at sundown. Any more questions? Well, I want to make a point. Let's try to put ourselves far, far back in time, when there was neither heaven or earth.
You mean when there was nothing at all?
As far as this earth is concerned, yes.
I can't imagine just nothing.
And nobody can, because we are only human, with human brains that can think along only certain lines and within fixed limits. Well, God created the earth, and all that in it is from nothing.
Weren't there any trees, flowers, birds, bees, or any living things on that first day of creation?
No, Pat. The whole world was empty of all living things. That is why God made the light first. Because without light, nothing can live for long.
Couldn't God have made things grow without light?
Yes, of course. But God wanted to do things in an orderly way. With God, first things are first, always. He knows what needs what. So he made it that way from the very beginning.
Did God exist before the beginning?
Yes, Pat, he did.
I don't understand that.
Well, let me try to explain. Take this orange. Where did it come from?
Mom bought it at the store.
I mean even before that.
Well, oranges grow on trees in orange groves.
In Florida, California, Texas, Australia, Spain, and South America.
I mean even before that.
Oh, I get it. Someone planted a seed.
Where'd the seed come from?
From another orange, from another tree.
Where did that orange tree come from?
But, Dan, I mean, How? I get what you mean, Pop. If you keep on tracing oranges and orange trees back to the very beginning, the very first tree from which the very first seed came, where did the first tree come from?
I know. God created it.
Yes. And the earth, too. And the ocean, and everything.
You just heard what it says in the Bible. God created the heavens and earth, and all that in them is. His Spirit moved on the waters. He divided the light from the darkness.
And he called the light day, and the darkness night.
And that ended the first day of creation.
But what about other things? Animals, plants, fish, and birds?
God created those things on the next days of creation.
Do you know how many days of creation there were?
Seven, weren't there?
No, there were really only six.
God took 6 days to create, and on the seventh he rested from his labors.
Well, I think we should hear the rest.
All right, turn it on, Johnny.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Nathaniel was praying beneath the tree out of sight. He would pray there all day, and he'd pray there all night. There was no one who knew that was what he liked to do. Nobody but the Lord in heaven. He'd say, I like to pray, I like to pray. I hide away and pray all the day. I like to pray, I like to pray. Pray to the Lord in heaven. One day his friend Philip came up to him and said, we found Jesus, the Messiah, the King. When Nathaniel met Jesus, surprise that's for sure, 'cause Jesus knew his secret though they never met before. He said, you like to pray, you like to pray, you like to pray, you like to pray. You hide away, you hide away,
and pray all the day,
pray all the day.
You like to pray,
you like to pray,
you like to pray,
you like to pray to the Lord in heaven. Then Nathaniel said to Jesus, it's a miracle you've done. You must be a prophet, you must be God's son. You heard me pray as I hid beneath the tree. I'll follow you if you will have me. Oh, I'll follow you, I'll follow you, because you knew that I pray to you. Oh, I'll follow you, I'll follow you. Jesus is the Lord of heaven.
I like to pray,
I like to pray,
I like to pray,
I like to pray.
I hide away,
I hide away,
pray all the day,
pray all the day.
I like to pray,
I like to pray,
I like to pray,
I like to pray to the Lord in heaven. Jesus is the Lord in heaven.
This is the way these boys and girls can hop and skip and play. But when their teachers call to them, they listen and obey. This is the way these boys and girls can find a place to hide. But when their mothers call to them, they quickly come inside. This is the way these boys and girls can climb a tree so tall. But they come climbing down again when they hear Daddy call.
Hello, Pastor Perez. Are you busy?
I'm just working on this week's sermon. Some would say I'm not busy enough. What can I do for you, Hannah?
I got another question about prayer. I hope you don't mind me bugging you so much.
Mind? If someone in my congregation wants to talk to me about something as important as prayer, are you kidding? Sit down and tell me what's on your heart.
Not what, who.
Okay, who's on your heart?
Andrew.
And who is Andrew?
Only the most evil, most terrible, most awful person on earth.
Wow, this sounds serious.
It is. He enjoys making my life miserable. He's always starting nasty rumors about me and saying that I'm a wicked witch.
Are the nasty rumors true?
No.
Are you a wicked witch?
No.
Well, then what's the problem?
You see that Jesus wants us to pray for our enemies. Well, I don't want to pray for Andrew. I don't like him. He makes me mad.
Then you might want to pray for you.
Me?
Yeah. Ask God to help you become more forgiving, more loving. Ask him to show you how you can help Andrew stop being such a pain. If Jesus can pray for those who put him on the cross, you can certainly pray for someone who calls you a wicked witch. Would you like to do that right now?
Sure. Will you help me?
Absolutely. Dear Jesus, Hannah has a problem and needs your help. Please come into her heart and teach her how to be more loving, even to someone like Andrew.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He's interested in everything we do and longs to be included in our lives. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 10, The Secret Room. The Shoebox kids froze at the sound of the slamming door. They slowly turned around. Mr. Chambers was smiling at them. "I'm glad you listened this time," he said. "Last week when those bullies were chasing you, I tried to get you to come in, but you all ran on by, like you were afraid of me, too." The Shoebox kids stared at the floor. "But I'm glad you're here now. Come on into the kitchen. It's been a long while since I had young company, or any visitors for that matter." Sammy's heart began to beat faster. He was finally going to get a look at the kitchen. Mr. Chambers continued to talk as they followed him into the kitchen. "But I always keep some peanuts on hand in case I do have company," he said as he reached into a cupboard. He placed a bag on the table. "Could one of you help me with some chairs, please?" "I will," Chris said as he followed Mr. Chambers into the dining room. They returned to the kitchen with two chairs. Soon they were all sitting around the table. Sammy couldn't take his eyes off the kitchen wall, the unmatched wallpaper, and the hutch in the corner. He looked at the window. He knew that the round window was somewhere on the other side of that wall. The kids munched quietly on peanuts, not knowing what to say to Mr. Chambers, but they needn't have worried. Mr. Chambers was a friendly, talkative person. "I hate it when people get picked on because they're different in some way or because no one really knows them." The kids began to listen closely. "I heard some of those awful things those boys said to you. God made you just the way he wanted you to be." "That's what Mrs. Shue told us," Jenny said. "Mrs. Shue?" Mr. Chambers questioned. "By the way," he said, smiling at Jenny, "those candy bars were delicious. I confess, though, I've already eaten all of them." Jenny, Willie, and Sammy looked at each other and grinned. Jenny answered, "Mrs. Shue is our church school teacher, and I'm glad you enjoyed the candy bars." "Well, you have one wise teacher," Mr. Chambers continued. "I've always believed it was wrong to treat people meanly, no matter what the reason. I learned that from my parents, who learned it from their parents. Things have gotten better in modern times, with the exception of cruel bullies of one kind or another, but there was a time when this wasn't true." Mr. Chambers paused. "More peanuts?" he offered. Chris and Willie nodded and reached for another handful. "Do you all have time for a quick story?" Dee Dee looked at her watch, and Sammy looked out the window. The sun wouldn't be down for a little while yet. The kids nodded in agreement to a story. They were enjoying listening to Mr. Chambers talk. "Well," he began, "this is a true story that happened to my grandparents. They told my papa about it, who often told the story to me when I was a child. About 140 years ago, in the mid-1850s, many Asians, mostly Chinese men, sailed to this country to work the newly discovered gold mines of California." Sammy, who had been slouched to one side in his chair, bolted upright. He had been staring at the wall, trying to figure out how to ask Mr. Chambers about the secret room that was hidden there. But now his attention was focused on Mr. Chambers' story, which was picking up where his own grandfather's knowledge had ended. 10 years later, Mr. Chambers continued, many of the mines and streams gave out. The gold was gone. The Chinese men then went to work for the railroad. The goal at that time was to connect a railroad from the west with one coming from the east. The workers on the Western Railroad, the Central Pacific, were mostly Chinese men. They were hard workers and knew how to blast away part of the Western Mountains so track could be laid over them. Anyway, the railroad was completed in 1869. The Chinese helped build the rest of the Western railroads, but within a few years, there was no more work for them. And because they looked different and had different customs, the people feared the Chinese men and came to hate them. Thousands of them had nowhere to go and worried about their safety. Many couldn't find a job because no one would hire them. They had no place to live and sometimes no food to eat. Many traveled east across the country looking for a better life. One night, there was a knock on the very door you came in. My grandparents had just moved into this house. They had been married only a short time. A young Chinese man stood before them. He was tired and hungry. He said he'd left California and been traveling at night for many weeks. He had a scared look in his eyes. Just like the slaves in the Underground Railroad, Sammy thought. Well, this poor man begged my grandparents for some food in exchange for doing some work, Mr. Chambers said. My grandmother, who loved gardening and flowers, had planted a large vegetable and flower garden. She suggested he could pull weeds and help her tend it. Sammy began looking at the wall again. He stared at the seam in the wallpaper that ran from the ceiling to the floor, midway across the wall. He looked at the blue flower pattern on one half of the wall and at the different flowers on the other. Sammy also looked at the hutch, but something about it didn't seem right. The whole back wall was empty, yet Mr. Chambers had the hutch pushed tight into the corner. Lou, that was his name, Mr. Chambers continued, did so well with the gardening and was such pleasant company, my grandparents decided to hire him as a full-time gardener. But the people in these parts didn't like having a Chinese man around. Then they started to dislike my grandparents for having him here. Sammy stared at the hutch, thinking. It reminded him of the bookcase he'd seen in his library book on the chapter about Anne Frank. A large bookcase had hidden a secret opening to a stairway that led to the family's secret rooms in the attic. All at once, Sammy remembered that Mr. Smith had pointed out a doorway to the bathroom at that very spot. That's it, Sammy thought. The hutch is covering up the doorway. Sammy's attention flipped back to Mr. Chambers. What was he saying? My grandparents, fearing for the safety of all of them, told people Lou had moved on. But he didn't leave, Sammy blurted out. Your grandparents extended the bathroom wall right there, Sammy said, pointing to the unmatched wallpaper seam. They could hide him if anyone came to visit or wanted to check if he was still around, and they covered up the doorway with a hutch. Silence fell over the room. Mr. Chambers stared at Sammy, speechless. Finally, Willie spoke. It all fits, he said. Yeah, it does, Maria agreed. Sammy, Chris said, you solved the mystery. What mystery? Mr. Chambers asked. He turned to Sammy. How on earth did you know there was a hidden bathroom back there? The kids all laughed. Then Sammy told Mr. Chambers the whole story, starting with the ball he hid into his window. I'm really sorry for trespassing on your property, he said. That's all right, Mr. Chambers answered. I just hope you know you can ask me for the ball if it happens again. We all do now, Sammy said. Then Sammy explained how his curiosity combined with the Underground Railroad led them to the architect firm. He also told him they sold the candy bars to find out if he knew about the secret room. Mr. Chambers laughed. So that's why you asked to use the bathroom. And I almost told you there was a bathroom there. Even after all these years, I still forget sometimes. But whatever happened to Lou? Sammy asked. Lou continued to care for the gardens, often tending them at night when the moon was bright. But a couple of years later, Lou decided that his being there was too much of a risk for my grandparents. My father had been born by then and was already a toddler. They all knew that sooner or later he would begin talking and would tell about a man living with them. The secret would be out and the danger would return. The last we know of Lou, Mr. Chambers continued, was that he sneaked away one night. He sent a postcard saying he had settled in the East and that he married a girl from Philadelphia and was quite happy. He thanked my grandparents for their help. They never heard from him again. Mr. Chambers rose from his chair. I have something to show you now, he said, winking at Sammy. He walked over to the hutch and opened it. It was empty. It's lighter that way, so I can move it. With a small push, Mr. Chambers moved the hutch about a foot. Then he looked at Willie's wheelchair. I guess we'll have to go a little wider. How about some help? The shoebox kids jumped up and helped push the hutch over far enough for Willie's chair to fit through the opening that was once a doorway. Then they all slipped into the secret room, and there at the end of the room was the round window. There was also a cot and a desk in the bathroom. I've kept the room just as it was when Lou was here all those years ago. Sometimes I still come in here to do my daily devotions, Mr. Chambers said. I saw the light one night last week, Sammy said. Mr. Chambers smiled and nodded. When I'm in here, he continued, I'm always reminded that we must make proper judgments about others and that the wrong things that people do are best left up to God to work out. Suddenly, Willie looked out the window. The sun was almost down. I better get going, he said. My dad will be looking for me outside. Yeah, us too, Maria and Chris said. Dee Dee and Jenny agreed. I should go too, I guess, Sammy said reluctantly. As they all said goodbye to Mr. Chambers on the porch, he told them to come back often, and they did just that. Sammy especially enjoyed it when Mr. Chambers had a story to tell. He also liked it when Mr. Chambers came outside to watch them play ball. He always cheered for both teams to win. One day, something even more amazing happened. Larry and Doug showed up while the Shoebox Kids were playing baseball. They started calling the Shoebox Kids' names and making fun of them again. What are we going to do? Jenny asked. It's hard to ignore them. Then Sammy had an idea. Maybe we shouldn't ignore them. Follow me. I've got an idea. Sammy marched across the field toward the twins. Larry and Doug stopped shouting. They looked kind of confused. What do you want? Larry asked worriedly as the Shoebox Kids surrounded them. Sammy smiled and said, We're the Shoebox Kids, and we want to know if you and Doug want to play baseball with us. Can we? I mean, I guess so, Doug said. On the way to play baseball, Chris handed his mitt to Doug, and Maria gave Larry the bat so he could take her place batting. Sammy waved at Mr. Chambers, who was sitting on his porch and smiling.
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 9, The Secret of the Hidden Room, written by Nancy Speck. Edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.